What's up, Ego Hackers? Can you guys hear me? How's the sound? Just trying to verify the sound with you folks before we get started here. I'd like to have the sound. Am I sounding good? What's up, Jeremiah? What's up, Rose? Cool. Glad that the sound is good. I always got a little concerned about that. Had some sound issues earlier, so. All right. Yeah, what's up, Ego Hackers? Yeah. Ninja Panda the Third. I had no idea there was a first or a second Ninja Panda. That's nice. What's up, Tommy? Are you 55? Born 55? Or are you 55? Or none of the above. Maybe it's your racing number. I don't know. But yeah, cool. What's good? Yeah, what's good? Hey, real quick, before we get started, the How to Type Yourself Masterclass was absolutely amazing and probably the best masterclass we ever did, other than the Ego Hacking Your Fear Masterclass. We're going to keep the sale price up for howtotypeyourself.com for probably just a couple more days. So if you guys want to get in on the sale pricing for the course and the masterclass, go to howtotypeyourself.com, get the course. If you have the course but would like to get the masterclass, go to offers.csjoseph.life/htty-masterclass. One of the best parts about this masterclass is how, as a result of that, we talk about why certain types struggle with typing and how, based on their quadra, strategies that they can use to actually increase their ability in psychoanalyzing. So it's pretty dope. Apparently, I'm being called a Wigga. Great. Not what I would have thought would happen there. It's a little weird. It's just cold. All right, well, yeah, sure. Glad to have been fun. So let's get down to the Q&A session for the evening. So, yeah, I'm on Pacific time out here, actually. So the Q&A, the way it works is that I have a bunch of questions that Acolyte members have paid for. To become a member, go to csjoseph.life/members. And then as a result of being that member, basically, you have the opportunity to upgrade to Acolyte, which gives you the ability to ask a question per month to be answered on the stream. And that's how that works. So become a member there. And also during these streams, you also have an opportunity to get our best deal that we have, which is csjoseph.life/essentials. $300, you get Journeyman, Acolyte, and you also get a 30-minute session with me to get typed and for your octogram as well. And we make that offer only really available during these streams, sometimes typing famous people, but it's really for the Acolyte Q&As that we make that deal available. So it is open right now. And that is at csjoseph.life/essentials. Check that out. All right, so first question. Well, all right, if you're too broke, then go to Udja.app, UDJA.app. Go and take the new test. We just released the newest version of Udja, so go check it out, okay? Although the female question and the second question after that will be redone, but in the meantime, the rest of the test is working as intended, so. First question. Hey, Chase, from a masculine and feminine perspective, my boyfriend wants me to have a career and go back to school. I feel extremely sad, and I'm just waiting to perish. I'm almost at the end of my egg-bearing days as a woman. How do I get over this crisis? Basically, express how you feel to your man. And it's like, go up to him and be like, I feel bad. And he'll be like, well, why... Why do I why do I feel, or why do you feel bad? He'll ask. And then she'll be like, well, because I'm at the end of my fertility. I don't want to spend all my time on education or whatever. I would just rather just be a mom and just be that straight with him about it and say how you feel bad about his plan and then see where he takes you from there. It's all about female communication, where you as a woman have to be vulnerable enough with your man to feel safe enough to express your needs, emotions, desires, and problems, which we talk about in the Ego Hackers nonprofits on a consistent basis, the Forge for the Men and the Cartel for the Women. That's how I would answer that question. The next question is, how can an INTJ woman know how to trust an ESFJ man? How can an INTJ woman know how to trust an ESFJ man and know if he is serious about her? I can give a bit of context, but it's extremely private and not something I ever want to be reminded of. Well, here's the thing, like, if you have his attention, he's basically serious about you. Like, if you're an INTJ woman, see, that's the thing about INTJs is that, like, they get so distrustful towards men that they actually have a hard time receiving. You should be more looking at, you know, the female litmus test of, okay, am I expressing my needs, emotions, desires, and problems? Is this man handling my needs, emotions, desires, and problems? Great, then I should probably show him gratitude, obedience, peace, and representation, which are the four reciprocations. And are you doing that as an INTJ woman? You know, because here's the thing, like, it's one thing for you to feel like whether or not you trust him or whatnot, but it's another thing to, like, act like you trust him. So maybe you should act how you trust him so that you can learn how to feel to trust him, because the feeling is not going to be there first. The feeling is something that comes after the fact. So you might want to keep that in mind, okay? So just remember, like, INTJ women are consistently mistrustful and distrustful of men. The reason why is because when it comes to INTJ women, just one man has to do something wrong to them one time, and then they will project that onto all men forever. And even one incident of baggage on an INTJ woman, and, like, all men are basically damned at that point, and it's really frustrating. So yeah, don't be that girl. Actually, like, you know, cause, like, look at your golden pair. If your golden pair, the ENTP, leads with full unfettered trust up front. Huge amount of trust, completely up front, right off the bat, right? Completely right off the bat. But here's the thing, like, if you're not gonna reciprocate and receive that trust, then I would even advise the ENTP man either put you in sex-only category or just move on. You know, it's a man's job to lead with commitment in a relationship, but statistically, women ruin their relationships more than men do. That wasn't the case, like, back in the 60s, but it is the case now, especially since millennials worked really hard to bring back male devotion, only for the women to not reciprocate that devotion. So then they just kind of gave up, and that's why the red pill and the black pill and the MGTOW actually exists, literally, because of that. It's just a knee-jerk reaction to the fact that women don't reciprocate male devotion anymore. And because of that, it ends up becoming a huge problem, you know, and now the problem is ultimately with the women at this point. So anyway, keep that in mind. So how can a male INFJ best cope with a female ISFJ UDUF in an intimate relationship? Okay, well, it's probable that one of you two are mistyped, but that's a kindred relationship. Kindred relationships are very, very hard and very difficult to pull off. I was in a kindred marriage, actually. So, best cope. Think, like, if you're a male INFJ and you're asking C.S. Joseph a question on how to cope with a female ISFJ in an intimate relationship, like, are you married? Are you married to her? That would be, like, my first question, like, because if you're married and you're trying to cope, you might want to bring in another woman into your life, basically, at that point. There's nothing stopping you. There's literally nothing stopping you from doing that, so just do that. And if she doesn't like it, then she can choose to cheat on you or leave you. And that's her choice, basically, at that point. And that's on her, and she'll have to deal with the guilt of that adultery for the rest of her life, maybe even existence, who knows? But the thing is if you're asking me, like, and you're having to cope in your relationship, maybe that's not a relationship you should seek or even try to maintain as much. But if you bring on another woman and, like, for example, they become sister wives, those women may potentially actually improve each other in such a way for your benefit anyway, and then it wouldn't be a coping feeling anymore, essentially. But you'd have to learn more about that. I do teach that with my private reserve lectures, but to get access to those, you'll have to actually, like, go to discord.gg/egohackers, join the sexuality special interest group, and then from there, figure out how to join the Forge or the Cartel to basically figure out all of that information. And you'll have to actually put in some work and earn your place there to be able to find out. But yeah, like, really, that's just a kindred relationship. You have to be super, super careful. Because while you have sexual compatibility, both of you are trying to get the other person to listen, and both of you are having a hard time filtering out who you should or should not be listening to. And it's really hard. Plus, female ISFJs are, especially UDUF ones, are motivated by fear more than any of the other 16 types. And that can be a huge burden for extroverted sensing inferior in an INFJ to actually deal with. And I do not recommend that relationship whatsoever. Next question is, what is the difference between hope in introverted intuition and faith introverted sensing? Well, hope springs eternal. Look, introvert intuition is it's kind of fleeting, and hope can be fleeting. You know, people oscillate between hopefulness and hopelessness all the time, but faith is enduring, it's long lasting, it's long suffering, it's perseverance, essentially, right? That's why the motto for the United States Marines is Semper Fidelis, which means always faithful, because the word always is attached to the word faithful because it perseveres, it endures. Whereas introverted intuition is more about attachment. It doesn't exactly endure like introverted sensing does, because introverted sensing always looks backwards and always remembers, right? Whereas introverted intuition is always looking forward, right? So it's about faith and long suffering from an introverted sensing point of view. Whereas with hope, it's all about leaving yourself to an option that may up or a pathway that may open up to you later in the future. That's the difference. Next question. I'm an ESFJ. I tap myself after a long quest of introspection. How can an ESFJ woman put herself first and realize that her self-care should come first and stop letting people take advantage of me? My father never taught me how to look after myself. My grandfather was a role model, but since he passed, I struggle to feel like there is someone in my corner to protect me. Okay, so putting yourself first as a woman might actually harm your ability to be attractive to a man. So if you are gonna do that, you need to learn queen energy. And this comes from the season 13 episodes, the season 13 playlist here on the YouTube channel. Go into season 13 and watch the queen, mother, matron, lover lectures and get educated, as well as season 6. So here's my recommendation. On the YouTube channel, watch seasons 4, 6, 13, and 31 in that order. Good luck, though, getting through season 31 as an ESFJ woman. I'm sure your ego investments would probably be screaming at you over time, and potentially thinking or believing to yourself that C.S. Joseph is a horrible person and should probably be axed. I totally get that. A lot of people have that point of view about me, especially when they get in the season 31 playlist, because it's the most controversial piece of content that I've ever released to the public. It's extremely controversial, such that it ends up, like, scaring a lot of people consistently. So something to be aware of to that end. So yeah, please be aware of that. But if you're talking about self-care, you really need to emphasize queen archetype and actually put in the effort to reach queen archetype, which means keeping your body fat percentage around 20%, for example, or make sure that eating organic non-GMO foods, you actually know how to do your makeup, you actually know how to do your hair, you actually know how to dress yourself properly. You know how to do feminine communication and how to act as a feminine woman instead of an emasculating woman, like almost every woman does by default in Western society. And you want to set yourself apart from them, basically. And at that point, a man's masculine idealism or altruism will activate towards you, and he'll just come by and sweep you up off your feet, and then he will protect you, essentially. Being queen and queen archetype, or being able to become a man's queen, is basically you positioning yourself for greatness. That's all you have to do, is just position yourself for greatness, basically. And that's ultimately what you're missing from that point of view. So next question is, what do you think would be the Robert Greene seduction style of each of the 16 personality types? I cannot answer that question here. The reason why is because that question is being answered in the upcoming course, Ego Hacking Love, which we'll be taking money for that course. We'll be taking pre-orders about Valentine's Day for that course is when we're taking pre-orders. And I'm going to be doing a series of content here on the YouTube channel and on the podcast, probably discussing relationship problems while pointing to the solutions that are going to be available in the Ego Hacking Love course. The Ego Hacking Love course will be just as big as Ego Hacking Your Fear. And because of that, it will have a higher price point. So I highly recommend you guys get in on the pre-order pricing while you still can. Otherwise, it's just going to suck. Gotta love that background noise. What's going on?
Oh yeah.
Gotta love street sweepers. They're our favorite. So yeah. Next question. How could I as an INFP female be happy or feel complete being single? I don't think any woman really can feel happy being single. As much as they tell themselves. I mean, you know, when men get money, for example, the first thing they think about is getting a home and getting a wife and getting children, you know, and they're trying to figure out who to give their money to. But when a woman gets money, it's all about, ooh, look at me, I'm independent of men. It's like, okay, yeah, but does that really actually make them happy? No, as has been proven many, many times. And actually on a recent episode of the Fresh and Fit podcast, that was actually proven to women that were being interviewed on the show. And not that I'm a fan of the podcast per se. I do watch it from time to time because it's always interesting to see what the red pill people are talking about on a regular basis. But basically, this question is unanswerable. The reason why is because the premise is false. That's assuming that an INFP female can be happy or feel complete being single. They just can't. The only way a woman feels complete is by either having a man in her life or by having children or both. That's it. Without those things, a woman can't be complete. And this is why her fertility has to be guarded and protected. And there's so much relating to that that is so important. And a lot of people are not even realizing how or why that is actually so important, because you know, I wish I could answer this question, but it's impossible. I cannot answer this question. The next question is, how can an INFP woman stop being afraid of conflict or stating clear boundaries to men she wants to date or people in general? Like, okay, well, the problem is that when a woman states boundaries to a man, it's actually emasculating. It's entirely emasculating. Men are the ones who set boundaries, not women. Now, and I get it with relationships that men are the ones who, you know, put their foot on the gas and women put their foot on the brakes. I get that. The thing is that, again, you have to learn feminine communication, and you can do that by reading Zach Rohde's books, Irresistibly Feminine, Worthy Woman, Show Him Your Heart, and Inspire His Devotion, right? Read the four Zach Rohde books, practice feminine communication with the men that are in your lives, like your brother, your father, etc. And then also do so with the men that that you want to date. Although you should not be wanting to date men, you should be wanting to date a man, not just one. Like seriously, because there's this thing called monkey branching that women do, where they talk to multiple men at once. Like if I find out like a woman is monkey branching, like if she's talking to me, but I know she's talking to other dudes at the same time, I will instantly just block her, like. Because in my mind, and in the mind of like any man worth his salt, she's basically trash. She's trashy at that point. It's not okay for a woman to be talking to multiple men at the same time. That's monkey branching. That's bullshit. You know, you can't do that. You can't monkey branch. I have gotten rid of many people, many women in my life on account of like, oh, you're monkey branching? Stay away from me. You know, like, oh, you're talking to that dude? Why are you talking to me? stand up in the middle of the date, walk out on them. Like, I just don't care. Like, no. My time and attention and resources are so valuable that you are either going to be, like, anything that I give you is not going to be at risk of benefiting another man. That's just the reality of the situation. If you have a problem with that, get out. Like, come on. So don't even go there with me. Like, seriously, just don't even go there. It's bullshit. So don't do that. Now, I understand that according to this question, it talks about a very violent traumatic event that this woman has suffered. And then she says, I struggle with feelings of powerlessness, worthlessness, and I'm afraid to be alone in public. I haven't really dated since that traumatic event. I'm 38 years old. And when I go on a date, I don't feel sexy or empowered. I can't get into my feminine mind, flirting with him, being coy, etc. I just feel fear, and thus it is difficult to create an attraction. I have started losing weight and been looking at Krav Maga courses in my neighborhood. What measures can I take to feel safe in dating again? I don't think this question is anything about feeling safe in dating. I think this question is actually about you feeling empowered with your cognitive origin of authority and power. I think that's the actual issue. There's an episode or a series of episodes in Altered Carbon Season 1 on Netflix, which talks about an AI doing psychosurgery on a rape victim, basically. And what he did was this AI taught this girl in virtual reality how to physically defend herself, how to think through certain situations, basically gave her combat skills and had her read a lot of books and get educated so that she was able to feel personally empowered and at least still have some semblance of skills that she could utilize to defend herself in a very rough situation. That being said, you should utilize the men in your life, like your father or your brothers, etc., from that point of view, to vet the men for you. That's a dad's job. A dad is supposed to be there to vet men. This is something I teach the men in the nonprofit, in the Forge, where it's like, hey, if you have daughters, it is absolutely your responsibility. It is absolutely your responsibility as a man to be vetting the men that your daughter is considering to date until such time she is not a virgin anymore, and then it's no longer your responsibility as a man. It's no longer your responsibility. If your daughter wants any assistance, and she would want assistance vetting men, definitely. Because women have proven time and time again that they are terrible at choosing mates for themselves. They're absolutely terrible. This is why arranged marriage exists, basically. Not that I agree with arranged marriage or anything, but it's why it exists, to protect women's poor judgment, from protect themselves from their own poor judgment. Because women have inferior judgment to men, and men have inferior perception to women. Women have superior perception to men, and men have superior judgment to women. Basically, psychologically speaking, this is a fact. Okay, so from that point of view, like, a woman will always be under a man's leadership her whole life. The first man she's under leadership should be her father, and then from there, it's her husband, and then from there, it's whichever son of hers is taking care of her in old age. So she at all points during a woman's life, she is subject to the leadership of a man in some capacity. And part of the fatherly leadership that she should be receiving from her dad, even though it's kind of hard to do in this fatherless generation that we live. You can buy the VIP access and get the 15 minutes type. Of course you can. Just go to csjoseph.life/essentials. That's all you got to do. And that deal is open during the stream. Okay? It's the best deal we got available during the stream. csjoseph.life/essentials, and you're good to go, bro. That's all and you get 30 minutes, not 15 minutes, you get 30 minutes. We do your type and your octogram. Plus, you get to ask Acolyte questions and go through all of the private content that we have, except for the individual courses. So you're good to go. So go check out the deal. But yeah, anyway, the point is that, like, if this woman had a much healthier relationship with her father, and even as a 38-year-old could utilize him and ask him or her brothers or her uncle or maybe even some of her male cousins at her age, they should be old enough to be able to give her the proper advice to vet men that she's considering or that men that she's considering dating. I mean, that would be hella useful to her, because then she can make an informed choice, essentially. And oftentimes this doesn't even happen. Now, granted, like, none of these men, if she's not a virgin, none of these men don't have, like, do not have the responsibility to do that, but she's obviously a family member, and most men help women that they are in family members of anyway, so as long as she has decent rapport with those men, of course they'd help her anyway because of masculine idealism, masculine altruism to begin with, you know. That's just what men do. So, yeah, that would be a more long-winded way to answer that question. But, yeah, next question is, I've been wondering if it is likely to have a lasting relationship with someone you are compatible with, such as your golden pair, even if you do not have much in common. Yes, of course it is, because nature trumps nurture. Nurture is having things in common with a person, but nature is more important than nurture. So, yes, the answer is absolutely yes. If you are in a relationship with someone you are compatible with, and it will be a lasting relationship, even if you don't have much in common, answer is yes. And why does it matter if you have anything in common? Do you honestly think men care about your career or your job? They don't care about that. A man cares about getting a house for himself. He gets a house, and then he puts a woman in it, and the woman turns it into a home. Okay, and then she has children in that home. That's what a man cares about. He does not care about a woman's career. And if a man does care about a woman's career, you might want to consider why or how, or that's a huge red flag, a very big red flag. And I would be really, really careful. And then I would subject him to the female litmus test, which is express your needs, emotions, desires, and problems to the man and see if his masculine idealism or altruism will do anything about it. If he does something about it, definitely consider giving him your commitment. If he doesn't do anything about it, he is a boy, he's not actually a man, and move on. Just get, like, literally get rid of him. There's just no point, right? But be prepared to reciprocate with the four reciprocations, which is gratitude, obedience, peace, and representation. If you're not representing him well in the home, or representing him well in your relationship, or representing him well in public, like if you're showing up, if you're going out in public without like your aesthetics on point, what are you doing? If you're not representing him well, if you let your body go and you end up, you know, like here's the thing, girls, if you want to know if you're overweight, go to the Banner Health Ideal Weight Chart. Just Google it, okay? Go look up your height on that chart, and you'll be given a weight range, and then calculate the median of that weight range. And if you're above that median, in the eyes of men statistically, you're overweight. If you're above the top weight of your weight range, then you're obese, okay? And you should probably target being about 5 pounds, at least 5 pounds underneath your median weight, according to the Banner Ideal Weight Chart, to be the most aesthetically pleasing to your man. If you're not willing to do that for your man, then there's a problem. Now, of course, there's situations where your man may actually probably have you be a little bit heavier than that for your taste, and that's okay, just follow his lead. But for the most part, most men, for example, most men would prefer 5 pounds underneath your median weight on your Banner Ideal Health or Ideal Weight Chart. Like, seriously, like, ladies, get educated. That's super important. And if you're having a hard time figuring out how to do that, Coach Viva on YouTube is a really good resource. But again, she's an INTJ woman with an ISFP co-coach. And she benefits those kinds of women. She benefits introverted wayfarer types the most. Because remember, advice that you get on the internet, you better psychoanalyze the people giving the advice. Because if they're not your type, or at least not similar to your type, you probably shouldn't listen to them, because the chances are their advice is not going to work for you. So keep that in mind. Okay, which pairing combination is most likely to emulate enemies to lovers? That is the challenge relationship, also known as the superego relationship. The superego relationship, for sure, is the answer to that question. Next question is, how can an ISFP woman manage her judgments and just be truly present? I am constantly judging everything and everyone, which gives me a very shallow outlook on the experiences I receive and the people I encounter. oscillating between extremely accepting of others or very judgmental. Well, I can tell that you're ungrateful. You're very ungrateful. You probably have never made your father a sandwich in his life. That's a fact. And you probably should learn how to make your father a sandwich, because developing a great relationship with your father looks really good to men, because that's an indicator of how you will end up being treating men in terms of a relationship. Plus, making a sandwich with your father would also improve your relationship with your mother, because then she's the one that doesn't have to cook him lunch or dinner that day because you made him a sandwich. You see what I'm saying? Like, come on. Manage your judgments and just be truly present. Stop judging and start perceiving. Women have superior perception. Women are really good at seeing things in the world and seeing things around them. They just don't know what to do about it. They just don't know how to decide. Women as decision makers, that's just a recipe for disaster. That's a recipe for failure. Women's perception is so superior to men. Look at it from the male perspective, though. Male perception is so poor that if like for example, I was telling this to a woman recently on the Ego Hackers Discord server. And if you want to get on our Discord server, go to discord.gg/egohackers. We got like 2,300 people, very active server. You should probably join. When you're on our, she was on our Discord server and she's like, wait a minute, you really keep track? You guys literally have a spreadsheet where you keep track of every single woman that DMs every single man on the server? I'm like, yeah, we do. We actually do, yeah. We have a special interest group of the men in a secret channel where every time a woman DMs a man or every time a man DMs a woman, it's posted that an interaction took place. They may not say what was in the contents of the interaction. That's irrelevant. Sometimes the men do share the contents of the interaction. Sometimes they do. But those DMs are all tracked. Date and timed and who with, etc. All tracked. And women who do this receive a tick mark next to their name. We even go so far as that if it even happens through other servers, basically other servers, not on our Discord server, and there are people on the Ego Hackers Discord server that are on other Discord servers, those entries are also added to our spreadsheet. Why? Because we want to see how many of the women are talking to the most men, because male perception is so poor that it doesn't matter what the intentions the women have. It doesn't matter what is actually being talked about, because men have this problem where, or is it really a problem? Men have this problem where we judge women by their actions. And if a man sees a woman talking to other men consistently, automatically in our heads, we just default to, wow, she's obviously a hoe. She's obviously a whore. She's obviously easy. It's part of her reputation, ladies. It doesn't matter what your intention is. You're judged by your actions. So the more men you talk to, the more tick marks you have next to your name in this spreadsheet, basically. So yeah, so that's the thing. That's why it's better to interact with the men in the actual channels where like everyone's there. But as soon as you turn it into a private interaction, the sexual agenda is always present. Okay, it just is. It just is. So it's tracked. Regardless, and it's a huge red flag. And this is how the men are tracking basically the hypergamy of the women. Because hypergamy is defined by female stress relief, which is the beta side of hypergamy, versus female joy, which is the alpha side of hypergamy. Men are expected to provide both to a woman, bring her joy as well as relieve her stress. But 80% of men are good at relieving the stress. And really bad at providing joy. The other 20% of men are really good at bringing joy, but they can't relieve stress to save their lives. So women cheat on men when they're only getting one out of the two. That's why we train the men to do both. But our men, because they're being trained to do both, are a lot higher value men than the other men in the world. So, which means they expect, because they're higher value and putting in higher effort, they expect that the women themselves be higher value. Well, it's men's perception is so poor that they're just going to perceive women as low value women the more men they talk to in a private setting. It doesn't matter what the women are talking about. Male perception is just so bad that we default to that judgment of women by default. And that will never change. That will never change. I don't care how much you try to educate men in school. I don't care how you try to rehabilitate them. I don't care how you try to condition them. That will never change. That is biological. It is undeniable, indisputable. It will not change. So, so because of that, these tick marks are there. Why? Because it teaches a valuable lesson to the women that the mature feminine should have been teaching them. And that is, male perception is so poor that men will make unfair or misjudge you constantly. So as a woman, you have to be working very hard to make sure your reputation in the eyes of men are is on the up and up at all times, regardless of what you're saying. And therefore, you should be having more healthier interactions with women privately, and then keep your interactions with men public. Unless, of course, the man that you are having a private interaction with is happens to be the one that you do have a crush on and you're actually trying to get with him, then sure, go for it. Okay? Go for it. Definitely. Like, that's just literally how it is. That's literally how it works. And if you girls out there think otherwise, you know, oh, well, that's sexist, that's misogynistic. And I'm like, listen, ladies, here's the reality. It's a man's world. It's always going to be a man's world. And that'll never change. You know why? Because a new girl turns 18 and 21 every single day. And while you may control access to sexuality, men control access to commitment. And because men control access to commitment, it will always be a man's world. And that'll never change. So, doesn't matter. And this is where all the ladies are like, oh, we need to track men and all this. And like, it doesn't matter. Like, men are rewarded by other men and rewarded by society based on their sexual strategy, which is polygyny, which is be as with as many women as possible. Now, what I teach the men is that you better not have unmanaged polygyny. I teach the men that it's not okay to pump and dump women. That's wrong. And if I catch them pumping and dumping women, I kick them out. I ban them with extreme prejudice. Pumping and dumping is wrong. Okay. Whenever you get with a woman, you lead with commitment. Commitment is on the table. However, the woman can lose your commitment. And then if she loses your commitment, you just tell her, okay, you've been put in sex only category. So you have a choice, either leave or work hard to regain my commitment. You give her that ultimatum. In the meantime, I'm going to go see other girls, as he should, because again, it's a man's world. Sorry, not sorry. It's just the way it is. So that's just kind of the reality. So in this case, for this ISFP woman, really focus on your perception, manage your reputation as much as possible. Remember the second law of power, so much depends on reputation. Guard it with your life. Do not be spending so much time being judgmental, because that just makes you come off as emasculating and reduces your value as a woman to a man anyway. No man is going to commit to you. No man is going to be devoted to you if you have that attitude. So you need to focus everything you have on your perception. Perception is everything, okay? You can learn more about this by reading Zach Rohde's books, Zakrodde. They're very short. You could read all of his books literally in a week. They're like booklets, basically. So that's just how it is. We don't need unfair men. Well, there's nothing unfair about it, because it's written. There's no greater love than when a man gives up his life for his beloved. And if a man is willing to give up his life, and guess what? All men are willing to give up their lives for their women. Because they're willing to give up their life, they're due that much more respect, such high respect that they should even be allowed to have additional women if they want to. Or if all of a sudden you screwed up as a woman and you lost their commitment and you get put into sex-only category when they first led with commitment. That's on you. That's not on them. So keep that in mind. So, next question. What's most important to an ENFP woman, basically? Literally, the answer to this question is the video on this channel called The 8 Rules for Loving ENFPs. But to a woman, an ENFP woman, it would absolutely be her expert intuition hero, her expert thinking child, her expert feeling critic, and then also her extroverted feeling critic, and then her her extroverted sensing demon, basically. those things are the most important, because women value or utilize their extroverted functions more. Women are way more external creatures. Men are more introverted creatures by nature, because men are more introspective than women, whereas women are extrospective. So they value their extroverted functions a lot more, because women are to receive from men and men are to give to women, basically giving in the form of time, attention, and resources in order to meet a woman's needs, emotions, desires, and problems, which helps relieve female stress as well as bring female joy, which is handling both sides of their hypergamy, essentially. That's what happens. So that's what ENFP women want. Otherwise, refer to 8 Rules for Loving ENFPs, as well as How to Social Engineer ENFPs in Season 21 playlist here on the YouTube channel. Next question is, how can IFJs overcome making wrong decisions, like overcoming TE Trickster and build FI Critic? How can they be more confident in their choices of what to believe, even if others try to convince them otherwise? Validate ideas. Literally do research. And don't listen to just everyone. You have to find out which voices are more valuable than others. So go find an FI parent or an FI hero and literally ask them what their opinion is about your thinking, essentially, and then have your thinking adjusted from there. Oh, that's really bad advice. Not Me says, don't show your judgment, just hide it. If you really honestly think that men can't see right through you after they've been with you for a while, and you think that you can hide your judgment from men, you are actually being a foolish girl. That is really bad advice. Extroverted feeling men can detect your value judgments. Extroverted thinking men can detect your thought judgments. So you won't be able to run. Oh, and by the way, the highest value men can do both. I'm one of those men. So you won't be able to hide from me. And men, at least 4.5% of men like me, are out there and are actually mentally capable of doing this. I suggest you you don't follow that advice, ladies, because eventually, even though male perception is really, really poor, guess what? Extroverted feeling and extroverted thinking as cognitive functions from a Jungian analytical psychology perspective are judgment functions, and male judgment is superior to that of female judgment. So naturally, a man will be able to see through your judgments, and you will not be able to hide them from them, no matter how hard you try. So don't even bother. So how should women deal with their judgments? By expressing how they feel to their man. Vulnerably and permissively. That's how women deal with their judgments, okay? So just reveal it and be vulnerable. That's the only thing. Vulnerability is the most beautiful thing to a man, okay? It really is beautiful. And if a man is being disgraceful with dishonoring your vulnerability, he's a piece of shit. That should tell you to get him out of your life and move on to somebody else. Absolutely. So yeah. Anyway, IFJs for overcoming making wrong decisions, like seriously, building FI Critic, it's really, you need to adopt principles, but the only way to adopt principles is if you're talking to FP types. So go find FP types and run your ideas by the FP types to get their opinion on them, to sharpen your ideas. So expressing perceptions about their judgments is preferable than raw judgments. That's correct. That's absolutely correct. That's decent. Rose is saying, I have a story in my head saying this. When you're giving the man the opportunity to say something, it's the greatest thing in the world when a woman says to me, I have a story in my head telling me this. I love that. Sometimes I tell her, yeah, that story is accurate. Or other times I'm like, no, it's inaccurate because of these things. Oh, okay. You see what I'm saying? That's very powerful and very important, and also actually ends up empowering women entirely. None of this fempowerment crap that you hear that feminists talk about, because feminism is actually demon worship. It's worshiping Baal, that specific demon. So maybe you shouldn't do it. Just let you know. Like, it's a really bad idea. Stop worshiping demons with your feminism bullshit, guys. It's really terrible. So yeah. All right, next question is, how much would natural compatibility matter compared to nurture, octogram, UD, SD versus UFSF compatibility? For example, a relationship with natural compatibility plus nurture compatibility versus nature incompatibility versus nurture compatibility. Okay, so again, nature trumps nurture. Nature compatibility is more important, but octogram also matters. So like, for example, if I'm a UDSF ENTP, if I'm getting with my natural pair, technically on paper, SDSF would be better for me. And then if I'm a, but then also like if I'm getting with an INTJ girl who is my golden pair, then she should be the same octogram as me, UDSF, et cetera. Octogram does matter. However, a man who is in his prime, basically, which is age 36 to 42, 43, has enough life experience and been around enough women in his life that he knows what he likes and knows what he doesn't like. And based on that octogram, it kind of really doesn't matter. He'll just be able to know exactly which ones are good for him at that point, according to his frame and according to his life. So it's not as important. Just let your man lead you. That's all. And you don't have to worry that much about nurtural compatibility. Besides, if you're unconscious focused as a woman, your man will naturally, if he really is devoted to you and he is in his masculine and he is handling your needs, emotions, desires, and problems, he will naturally lead you to your subconscious focus anyway, which is where your brain wants you to be, which is the best place for your brain. So, well, why do you have something in your head saying, don't do that, not me? Maybe it's probably because you got baggage that you don't know how to deal with, and I would recommend you join the cartel of the mature feminine through the Ego Hackers Discord server so you can learn how to deal with that baggage, and then so that when a man is devoted and committed to you, your baggage doesn't end up causing you to self-sabotage your relationship. And that's exactly what we educate the women to avoid doing, so that they don't self-sabotage. Don't forget, women are motivated by fear more than anything. Women deal with anxiety all the time. Like everyone's like, oh, there's a huge anxiety epidemic. No, it's just called being a woman, actually. All women have severe anxiety problems. And this happened before we even learned about anxiety. It's just how they work, because women are motivated by the stick, whereas men are motivated by the carrot. Women make decisions based on fear, whereas men make decisions based on reward. Okay, that's how life works. That is biologically how we work psychologically between the two sexes, and it is expressed through our psychological type in the 16 personality system, known as four side dynamics and Jungian analytical psychology. That's just literally how it works. All right, so yeah, compatibility, it does matter the most from a nature, but not as much from an octogram. It does matter from an octogram perspective, but not as much. But regardless, everybody should be working hard to be subconscious focused, because it means living in their living virtue instead of their deadly sin. Okay, next question. Can an INFJ and an INFP ever have a working relationship, even though their positive and negative functions don't line up and softlock each other into their subconscious? Yes, and it's actually a very great working relationship. I got to watch an INFJ, a CEO of a company, work with an INFP engineer who was amazing at AutoCAD and programming CNC machines, and they made an absolute crap ton of money together. Like, it was incredible. Hi. So, yeah, cat's like inspecting. So, yeah. That's a big deal. Okay. Oh my gosh. Here's a weird question. Tell me about height, looks, face, and penis size. Things that you can't change but still matter a lot to women. How can you be confident if these things are below average? Okay. How do you know they're below average? Okay, here's the thing. People's tastes change according to their type, okay? So sensing functions that are in optimistic slots, so extroverted sensing hero, extroverted sensing child, and introverted sensing hero and introverted sensing child, these people statistically are likely to be overweight, for example, and are oftentimes attracted to people who are overweight or very accepting of people who are overweight, for one. Also, I know, like, there's an ENTJ women or TE hero women are often extremely tall, but I often find them getting in relationships with men who are shorter than them, okay? It's just all about their personal taste, and each of the 16 types ends up having, like, their own personal taste. And if you're really concerned about penis size, let me tell you the number one way right now to increase your penis size with a guaranteed result. You are guaranteed to increase your penis size if you do the following. All you have to do is lose body fat and lean out. That's all you have to do. Yeah, that's it. Men with small penises are, like, usually obese because there's a lot of fat cells covering up what they could actually be using, okay? So if you're really insecure about your penis size, you should be more insecure about your body fat percentage. Get it less than 15%, and all of a sudden you'll realize you're a lot bigger than you thought. Come on, guys. Your male perception is so terrible, it's disgusting and embarrassing. Stop embarrassing yourselves. Come on. And, like, these things don't matter that much to women. That's the other thing. Oh my God. Like height matters a lot to them, but the rest of it kind of doesn't. So don't care. Please ask Chris Taylor to answer this. I mean, he might in the comments. As an ISTP female who has a history of dating abusive men, all right, great, baggage alert. How can I be attracted to men who are good for me without being feeling turned off or bored? Hypergamy alert. My self-esteem is high. Okay. I value and love myself. Okay, FI demon. I think it's maybe breaking the pattern of what's familiar. I don't think you know what familiarity actually is, SI critic. This is a very prideful person, a very prideful, no. This is an ISTP female who's obviously unconscious focused right now. Probably SDUF would be my guess, which is obstinance pride, probably the worst octagram variant for ISTPs that I know of, at least that frustrate me personally. I do know of two SDUF ISTPs that I do really like, though. Just two that are women. But the other SDUF ones have been such a headache for me. I literally can't deal with them. But anyway, be attracted to men who are good for me. Well, here's the thing. You're an ISTP female who has a job, who has a career, and you're able to provide your own source of stress relief, which means you're not attracted to the men who provide stress relieving traits, which is provisioning, protection, and parental investment, which is the beta side of your hypergamy, so you don't care. But those are the only men who are, quote, good for you and are actually all about commitment, whereas the other 20% of men don't care about commitment because they provide the female joy side, and they're very selfish, and they're very fit, and they're very intelligent, a lot of intelligence, and they just kind of do whatever they want, including doing multiple women, and they're not good for you, and they're not going to commit for you, but you get that joy out of it. So basically, you're a victim of your own hypergamy. That's what's happening. And if you were really did it right, you would try to get to the 4.5% of men who are actually able to provide the female stress relief side of your hypergamy and the female joy side of your hypergamy. Oh, but you probably can't if you're not between ages 18 and 25, because that's the only time in your life as a woman that you will be able to attract those men. So if you are older than that, you are probably going to have to settle, because the reality of the situation is that as soon as you hit 26, your looks can't compete with younger girls anymore. It's over, okay? And so then you're a spinster at 26 if you're single, and then when you hit 30, your fertility starts dropping and you're aging faster, and then and then you become a thornback, basically, and then when you hit 35, you're an old maid. So, wow, congratulations. You're playing yourself. And yes, that number of 4.5% is actually going down. It's actually going down year after year. It's not going up. and 4.5% of men who are working age, which is ages 18 to 45, are having sex with all of the women, basically, in the dating market right now. In the sexual marketplace, 4.5% men. And you can actually, there's a video on YouTube that you search, and it's called How Women Are Creating a Polygamous Society, with an actual mega popular psychologist literally proving that true about how women are causing a polygamous society where only a very small percentage of men are having sex with all of the girls. Wow. You're playing yourselves, ladies. Where's the mature feminine? That's why we're trying to build the mature feminine, to prevent that. But you ladies aren't making it easy on us with your feminist ego investments. So it's huge, you know. Yeah, well, you may be old and a dusty bag of sand, but I still think you are a beautiful woman, okay? So, like, calm down. You're good, okay? Calm down. We discussed this. We've discussed this many times. Stop. Stop. No self-deprecation allowed. Stop it. All right. Anyway, so the answer is, how can I be attracted to men who are good for me without my feelings turned off or bored? The answer is, you can't. You can't. You can't. So you're only stuck with men who are not good for you. Sorry. And that's just the reality of your life. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. But that's just it. How can an INFJ let go of the past? It seems more beautiful and safe. There are also people in it who passed away, who some who've left now. The present is just very different right now. Thank you so much. INFJs don't let go of the past. It's very hard. There's really only one thing you can do as an INFJ. If you're a man, you overwrite the past by introducing new memories. As a woman, that's not the case. Women have this problem, especially as INFJs. They really can't let go of the past. It's called having sunburns. It's called having female baggage, basically. That just doesn't really happen. It really doesn't happen. I think Lord is an INTJ, actually. Odd question to ask. I think she's an INTJ. Kind of like her. But let's be honest, she's probably a hoe. Anyway. How can I, as an ESFJ, SDSF, help become the best communicator, teacher, and mentor that I can? You basically already are, technically, as an SDSF, ESFJ. ESFJs are the best at social mastery because the SI of perception functions are not generally more capable in women. No. Perception, a person's functions are there to express female perception, not be impacted by female perception. It's expressions of, it's different. Sure thing, Farzane, if that's how you say your name. But ESFJ, SDF, like ESFJs don't even utilize Jungian analytical psychology. They don't even think that, they don't even care about 16 personality theory or anything about this, because they're so good at social interaction and social norms anyway. Like, it doesn't really benefit them that much. It just doesn't. But if you're an SDSF, ESFJ, you're already the best communicator, teacher, and mentor that out of everyone else by comparison anyway, but your TE demon is just not really aware of it. So I understand why that you're asking the question. I've had a lot of success so far teaching the Foresight Dynamics. That's amazing. And other subjects like wellness so far. Amazing. God bless you. But I want to become the best version possible. What advice do you have for us? I anticipate more one-on-one and small group discussion in the near future. Honestly, I think if I was to give you some advice, really just keep reading books based on the subjects and topics that you already have expertise in, and just keep building upon that. There's an old saying. It is written, whatever your hands find to do, do it with all of your might. And that's basically how I would answer that question, for sure. Next question is, how can a UDUF ESFP befriend a UDUF ISFP? Well, if you're a woman, and if you're both women, this would be very, very easy. But if you are a man, it's not going to be easy. Women utilize camaraderie, which means all they have to do is just identify with one another and they can become best friends. But men don't make friends based on who they identify with. Men become friends based on who they relate to, basically. And a UDUF ESFP has a very hard time relating to a UDUF ISFP, and that's just basically why it just doesn't even happen. That being said, there is one way they can befriend one another if they both look to one another as a potential teacher, and if they could see the other person as a pathway for them to improve themselves as men, this is how they can definitely befriend each other. But if they're women, these two would be like best friends. So it's already fine. But from a male perspective, it's more of like seeing the other person as a potential teacher or someone that can actually improve their life in some capacity. That's really the only way that they can befriend each other. Next question is, how can INTJs practice to be less self-absorbed? INTJs who mean the best and help, but still come off self-centered, mostly to F users. Well, if you're a woman, good luck, because you have this thing called female solipsism, which basically means you're entitled more than men are by virtue of being a woman. It's called female entitlement. It's called solipsism. Psychologically, you'll never be able to stop that. However, you can look less self-absorbed, that when you're in a relationship with a man, you learn and master the four reciprocations, which is showing him gratitude with your FI child, basically, showing him gratitude, being obedient with your NI hero by being submissive, bringing him peace, so you're not, you know, allowing yourself to be, you know, bitchy under his roof at any time or in his presence, and then representing him well and increasing his reputation among others. That would be how I would recommend doing it. If you're a man, however, a little bit different. Men should learn Japanese stoicism, which is written by an INTJ, Miyamoto Musashi, the greatest swordsman in history. Over 60 duels won and undefeated. And he wrote Dokudo. So master the 21 principles of Dokudo, and you will have all of the practice and the entire guaranteed pathway on how you can actually become less self-absorbed by adopting Japanese stoicism according to Miyamoto Musashi's principles, 21 principles of Dokudo. And while that seems like a very small answer, it is the best way I could have answered that question. So, next question is, what do SDUF ISTJs value in their work, and how can they be happy with the profession they chose? So SDUF means that they really like it when people give them favoritism, and they could be very wrathful in their work. Basically, it really just comes down to their comfort, and as long as they feel like they have carte blanche to do whatever they want in terms of like what they're allowed to do with their work, that's really what it comes down to. Are they able to draw justification from this work to give them the opportunity to break rules when they feel like breaking it? That's really what it comes down to. How can anyone be happy with the profession they chose? I mean, it just depends. Like, are you trying to be the useful little engine, basically? You know, Thomas Tank Engine approach? As most ISTJs actually do. Or are you just trying to be, like, because the UDUF ISTJ is like the gangster type, basically. Little cokeheads that they get to be. Always coked out all the time, which is the most annoying thing in the world. SDUF is a little bit different. Really enabled in their childhood. They're really good children, but really terrible adults, basically. So they really need to be in a profession where it kind of reminds them of their childhood and kind of enables them in that same way. But that might actually harm their social relationships with other people. I recommend reviewing the ISTJ social skills lecture that we have behind the paywall, cshelso.life/members, get a journeyman and membership, and then watch season 12, part 2, episode 9 specifically for that. Next question. Hello, I'm an ESFJ woman working on getting fit. Awesome. For my overall general health? Yeah, of course, because ESFJ women have deadly sin of gluttony, and they're very often likely to be the most obese people out there. ESFJ FE hero women are almost always obese. It's ridiculous. It's really ridiculous. It's such a trope. It's such a meme that when I'm walking on the street and I see a very, very obese woman, I almost always instantly know that she's an ENFJ or an ESFJ by default. That's how bad it is. It's just terrible. Okay. I enjoy running and walking, but what other sports or activities would be suitable or beneficial? I mean, if you're an ESFJ woman working on getting fit, why are you running? Because running doesn't actually cause you to lose fat at all. You should walk. Walking actually drops fat. So, like, do that instead. If you want to go on a treadmill, 3 miles an hour max at a 15-degree incline to simulate, like, hiking or something, and that's the maximum that you should probably do. But, like, even then, like, walking is what is going to burn fat, not running. Don't run. That's a really bad idea. Otherwise, do weightlifting. Go to builtwithscience.com. Get Jeremy Ethier's beginner program. Do that. Or go to Coach Viva. Get her program. Or go to Greg O'Gallagher's women's program at kinobody.com. Or the women's program of his movie Star Body program. And just do that. Like, literally just do that with a lot of walking and you'll actually be well on your way. I also recommend like getting like an Apple Watch and learning how to use it properly so you can actually keep track of your total daily energy expenditure. So and I'm glad that guy mentioned that in terms of cortisol, especially since the majority of people out there are adrenal types. Heavy breathing actually benefits like liver types, but adrenal types, which is like 70 to 80% of the population of the planet, it's not worth it. So don't do it. Like cardio is like increases your cortisol, which just makes you fat more and it burns all of your muscle on top of that. And it spikes your insulin, which means your fertility drops because you're giving yourself endometriosis or polycystic ovarian syndrome as a woman anyway. So women running is destroying their fertility. Congratulations, you played yourselves. Stop doing it. All right, next question. Which of the personality and octagram types are the best card players? Poker, bridge, gym, running. Basically, it is ISTP, INTJ, ENTP, and INTP are the absolute best card players. Poker, bridge, gin, rummy, all that. Basically, those types. That's why runners are fat. Okay, yeah, fair enough. But yeah, that's literally best card players. Octagram, it's not really, octagram is not really that important. So I walk a lot. I get at least 50 kilometers of walking a week. Okay. Think about that, folks. I get at least 50 kilometers of walking a week. Do you know how I know? Because I have Adventure Sync set up on my Pokemon Go. By the way, I just got with this Pokemon Go event, another Dragonite, and it's already at 3000 combat power. With the absolute best attacks it possibly can do, and I'm super happy about it. I also got a lot of Magikarp too. I went fishing. Anyway, how can an INFJ become more disciplined without other people's influence? Absolutely you can. Absolutely, it just takes practice. It's just practice. Practice, 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 practice. Increase your familiarity through practice. The best resource that I have to answer this question is at CS, it's in the journeyman section, csjoseph.life/members to become a journeyman, but it's in the particular season that talks about the demon functions, and just watch the SI demon lecture and then you're good to go. That is the answer to that question. And since you were able to ask this question, you already have a membership. So go watch that. Next question is, how can an INTJ help an NTP heal over time? I hate seeing NTPs talk so badly about themselves. How can I be useful to them? Okay, this is a great question because this is probably an INTJ woman asking about a male NTP. And I think I remember actually seeing that it was a woman that did ask this question. Let me tell you something, INTJ girls, about NTP men. NTP men work really hard, actually, because they aspire with their SFJ sides of their mind within their subconscious. No one works harder than an NTP man, especially since they are triple systematic. Literally nobody works harder than NTP men. Nobody. However, INTJ women have this problem where they get presumptuous with their ENTP shadow about men in their lives. Because in Western society, they've been conditioned in such a way where they believe that men are getting, because they're Effie Trickster, men are getting just as much support as they are, as the INTJ woman is. And actually, you know, because men don't get thanked for their contributions whatsoever. Men never get thanked for their contributions at all. But you INTJs assume that everyone is being grateful to them. Everyone is appreciating them. Everyone is there for them. But no. Like, think about it. Like, a woman who's in my life, Bayonet, I met her because she was the only person in the ego hacker community to reach out to me personally and ask me if I was okay, basically. And I have a relationship with her. Literally because of that. Literally because of that. But introverted wayfarer women, especially INTJ women, make the assumption that the hardworking NTP is already getting recognition from so many sources when they're not. They never do. Like, it's extremely rare that I personally get gratitude for what I do. And it's even rarer if it's from women. So, yeah. You INTJ girls are terrible and actually delusional about this. Stop being delusional. So, stop. Like stop. You can't have that perspective. So how can an INTJ help an ENTP or an NTP heal over time? Give him gratitude, be obedient to his leadership, bring him peace in his life, and represent him. Okay? It's not hard. Oh, it's Death Knight Dan. What's up, bro? All right. Next question. How can ENFJ get better in typing people, understanding type grid, and using applying all the knowledge with SI Trickster, maybe TE Demon? Okay, this answer was actually provided in the How to Type Yourself courses masterclass that was actually done this week. You know, that's literally how it is. Oh, what? Wait a minute. Did I just read Brianna M saying, do you think it's because of the way you come across? I'm like, let me think about that. INTJ is my golden pair. Because they are my golden pair, they should be able to interface with me and how I come across better than all the other 16 personalities combined. So because of that, we know it has nothing to do with how I'm coming across. It just has everything to do with them being entitled and ungrateful, actually. So don't go there with me, Brianna. That's bullshit, okay? Seriously, that's bullshit. You don't know what you're talking about. It's like, come on, like, don't let your ego investments or allow INTJ women and their FI child delusions get in the way. Like, that's not how it is, okay? Oh, it's because of how you come off. Like, look, has nothing to do with that. Come on, has nothing to do with how I come off. This is my golden pair we're talking about. They exist for me. They can handle how I come off because I'm not the only ENTP that comes off this way, okay? I'm a UDSF ENTP. Do you know what other UDS ENTPs are? Oh, that's right, Tony Stark, Robert Downey Jr., for example. Oh, Johnny Depp, that's another one. Oh, Andrew Tate, that's another one. Don't go there with me. Like, seriously, this is bullshit. Like, that's absolute bullshit, okay? Come on. So... No, I don't exist for them. No, because I am a man, okay? INTJ, look, women exist for men, not the other way around. Women were created from men, okay? Not the other way around, okay? Women exist for men, not the other way around, okay? So an INTJ woman exists for me, not the other way around, which means it doesn't matter how I come off, okay? Here's the thing, like, they're already mistrustful and delusional anyway. okay? Because the society, because out of all of the 16 types, INTJ women are the biggest victims to feminist propaganda, feminist conditioning, and feminist programming. That's the reality of the situation, okay? That's the truth, okay? So don't go there. You don't know what you're talking about. You literally have no clue what you're talking about. That's not true. No, check your privilege, your female privilege. Check your privilege. So yeah, how to type yourself masterclass actually answers this question. Again, if you want to get the masterclass, offers.csjoseph.life/htty-masterclass, but you have to already own the course. And to get the course, howtotypeyourself.com. And the sale pricing is available for the next couple of days before we take down sale pricing. Yeah, no, I don't draw attention to the good things I do. I let my actions speak for themselves. Of course I don't do that, Farzane. Of course I don't. So, but basically, ENFJ, get better in typing people. Really write everything down. Templars are actually really decent at typing, but they should really emphasize use of the type grid and less on octagram. Philosophers should really emphasize octagram, work backwards to the type grid. Wayfarers struggle because they need to be able to get the seed data that they need, but once they have the seed data, they can actually get very good at typing, and Crusaders are just naturally good at typing people. So keep that in mind. Oh, don't worry, guys. Brianna's probably cool. I just made her feel things. She probably doesn't often have people make her feel things. So it is what it is. She's all in her feelings, but I'm not devoted to her feelings. So it's not my job to take care of her needs, emotions, desires, and problems because she's not expressing them. Instead, she's just leading with statements of judgments and being emasculating and being disrespectful without actually knowing it. Okay, and she probably has no idea that she is. So, like, you know, give her a break. She probably has no clue. I mean, that's the problem with our world of fatherlessness. Women are just way too ignorant of the consequences of their own actions, and they have no idea how male perception is so terrible that they are judged by their actions, not their intentions. I'm sure Brianna has great intentions, but she doesn't realize that her actions are coming off in such a way where she is being potentially misjudged by men around her. So, anyway. Okay, next question. What is the problem when I, ENFJ male, feel emotionally flat? What it means in the context of octagram, I haven't cried in years. Is that okay for my type? Is to do something about it? Yeah, it's okay. It's perfectly fine. Like, there are a lot of men who haven't cried in years because men are not really, men are demonized and derided for even having feelings, whatnot. Like, really, like it's not wise for a man to show tears to a woman unless it's a very specific situation. Otherwise, you could do that to your fellow man, and it has to be fellow men that you actually trust. So really, if you're having a hard time feeling emotionally flat, it's probably because you don't have very good relationships with men in your life, and that would be what I would recommend to solve this issue. You need to get male relationships. As an ENFJ man, you need men in your life. Men who are better than you to help you grow, because it is written, as iron sharpens iron, so does one man to another. That's very important. Very, very important. So make sure you're doing that. Okay. Next question. How can a burned out INFJ get back to normal life? How does NI Hero and SI Demon work from that perspective? Basically, as INFJ, if you are really burned out, basically, you need to hermit. That's how you do it. Go hermit. Go spend time, structure your life in such a way where you're able to meet your basic needs, and then just go spend time hermiting, basically, to regain your energy, and then figure out what you want to do after the fact. Part of INFJ's self-care is to be able to have the space to be able to go hermit when you need to. If INFJs are not able to hermit, that could be a huge problem. This actually could be a really big problem with INFJ women. I've seen a lot of, I've helped a lot of INFJ women who are in relationships, like who are married, for example. I know one that is married to an INFP, for example. But his devotion was so poor towards this particular woman that he never gave her the opportunity to hermit, and they have three children. And because of that, she was always drained at all times, and she actually went UDUF on him. It ended up turning into a really bad situation, and she left him and took the children with her. INFJ women need hermiting. This is one of the reasons why I teach, INFJ men need it too. Like, it's just a huge need, but it's especially the women. I teach in the women's nonprofit. I'm like, look, you should not be raising children by yourself as a woman. But then again, you as a woman should not be expecting your man to do anything relating to childcare, like changing a diaper or anything like that anyway. But then at the same time, you shouldn't be doing it by yourself. So your family should have relationships with other family members to assist you, you know, babysitting, taking time off from the children, that kind of things on a weekly basis. Also, maybe even get a nanny or even have sister wives to also help from that perspective as well. That's really important. But how can an INFJ get back to normal life? Really structure your life around hermiting for a while to regain your energy and then return to life after the fact. That's what I would say. And the next one is, how can an INFJ escape your trauma and be more positive towards this world? Well, if you have a lot of baggage, you need to learn how to manage that baggage. You have to figure out why you have that baggage, how you got that baggage. And then from there, go to the male leaders in your life and ask them for their leadership and their recommendations on how to deal with that baggage, basically. And then that's how you can, it's not that you are escaping your trauma, it's that you are overcoming your trauma. You are managing your trauma and you have power over your trauma. You have power over your baggage. But you can't do that from other women. You can't do that for yourself. You have to have men in your life lead you out of that unconscious focus and into subconscious focus. That's what has to happen. Next question. HAs, from a masculine and feminine perspective or ideas, is it okay? Let's see here. Is it okay? This might be the last question. Is it okay to be happy? Is it okay to pretend to be happy to give appropriate response to male significant other to fulfill their needs? No, it is not okay to pretend to be happy. No, you should be learning feminine communication and expressing your needs, emotions, desires, and problems so that you are not pretending to be happy. A woman pretending to be happy is like a woman who fakes her orgasms, okay? And a woman can't orgasm unless her needs, emotions, desires, and problems are met. Anyway, men are always asking me, well, Chase, how do you get a woman to orgasm? How do you get a woman to orgasm? And I'm like, it's when she feels safe. It's when she feels safe and relaxed because she feels your devotion. It's entirely psychological. It has nothing to do with how you aim it or how you use it. It has literally nothing to do with that whatsoever. SDUF INTJs are prone to alcoholism. It's more of an octagram thing. I haven't really seen it in other INTJs. It's the SDUF ones specifically to answer that question. But yeah, like seriously, do not pretend to be happy. You need to express needs, emotions, desires, and problems. Just do it in a way that's permissive and make sure you are doing your four reciprocations of gratitude, peace, obedience, and representation. And then you'll be fine. Final question. How can an ISTP get better at giving gifts? I never know what people want and feel guilty giving people things they don't actually like, especially given bullshit social norms that recipients are expected to fake gratitude. All right, here's the answer. Go ask them what they want. During times that it is not Christmas or their birthday, write it down in your journal and then refer to that journal at a later date and then go buy it from them. Even if it's like 9 months ahead, 9 months later that you get it for them finally. That's what you should be doing. Make it a habit with your SI critic to actually ask people what they want. It's not hard. That's the answer. You ISTPs are so silly. You're so silly. Like, come on. You're so silly. Oh my God. Don't worry. I love ISTPs. I love ISTPs. You know, I've had the pleasure of knowing three ISTP women intimately in my life, and the last one I was with, that was Flare Gun. She. She asked me the same question. I was like, you just ask them and write it down. Every ISTP should have a journal anyway that they keep with them, either on their phone or like a physical journal with them as their memory totem all the time, and just write it down and refer to it later. That's all they have to do. Like, come on. You know? So, yeah. Nothing wrong with doing it in advance. You just have to be proactive with your NI child. That's it. I'd answer even the same way for ISTPs, especially or ISFPs, especially ISFPs, because they rely so much on their gift giving. So yeah. Yeah, you're most welcome, Sam. Even Brianna, who got all upset in her feelings, is also welcome. So. Thanks, Yuri. Yeah, I was born on today, that's true. You feel like you're late. No, you're not. Also, folks, don't forget, Typing Famous People, I believe, is tomorrow. So don't forget that. What do I want for my birthday? Oh, dang. I really want a Grackle. GRCKLE from Revenant Core. That would be nice. I really want a Grackle. I like Grackles. It's a G10 knife, completely undetected by metal detectors. It's awesome. Yeah. Or, No. Not that. Not at all. Not at all. Thanks for watching the stream, folks. It's been good. Thanks for being with me for the last 5-6 years. It's so funny that even some of the oldest videos are still pumping out views like crazy. This stuff lasts forever. I don't know if you guys have checked out the other YouTube channel, which is the Ego Hackers YouTube channel. It's pretty nice, so. Yeah, I play an ocarina. I don't know, it's been my birthday for 3 minutes, you tell me. Because it's midnight. I usually do it 4:30 Pacific, but honestly, like, asking me, like, what time a stream is like, it's like, whatever, you know? Yelling at Chase for being, yelling at us for being bozos. Eh, everyone's a bozo, including me. Good luck, you'll never be able to get any NTP to stick to a schedule. We've tried. It just doesn't work. Somehow it works out anyway. You're really cute in your coat, by the way. Mm-hmm. Any plans for my birthday? I'm gonna work. That's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna work and hang out with my boy. Be part of the spectacle. Thanks. Thanks, Yuri. Yeah, well, ENTPs kind of get along through life because we just end up memorizing everything that's important. Yeah. All right, folks. Thanks for watching and listening. See you guys in the next one. Later.